Welcome, everybody, to this Pal Talk audio in which we consider Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, wherein Paul says that the nations should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partaker of his promise in Christ through the gospel. There are a number of right dividers who believe that the Acts period is a transition, a passage from an earthly calling with a kingdom gospel, inverted commas, to a above heavenly calling where the gospel is all the mystery given to Paul by revelation. These same teachers believe that the Acts period is a progressive revelation, that Paul was given his gospel by revelation from Christ Jesus, and that slowly but surely, Paul began to receive the ultimate truths that were written in the books of Ephesians and Colossians, the post-Acts letters of Paul. These same teachers then interpret Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, like this, that the nations should be fellow heirs and of the same body revealed to Paul previously, and partaker of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Or that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body that existed before, and partaker of his promise in Christ through the gospel. What we hope to do in this audio is demonstrate that this is an impossible interpretation of this verse, and not what can be found in the context, the near context, the immediate context, and even the remote context. What we will show is that the body of Ephesians 3 verse 6 is the body that has recently been given to Paul by revelation, and about which he spoke quite clearly in chapter 1, and especially chapter 2, verses 11 through to 17. The revelation which included knowledge of the creation of the one new man, where Jew and Gentile were now in one body, equally reconciled to God through the shed blood of Christ. This new creation, we shall show, this body was not progressively revealed, was not the calling of the believing Jew and Gentiles prior to this revelation, that is, back in the Acts period. And therefore, it is outside of context to even suggest that Ephesians 3:6 is looking back to the past, when in fact it's looking back to chapter 2 and chapter 1 of this very letter. So for now, instead of imagining that Paul is looking back to the Acts period, it is wise for us to realize that Paul is writing about something in Ephesians that he'd already explained. As Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "For this cause, because of these things that I have written in this letter, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ," go on to explain this wonderful and new dispensation of the grace of God as it relates to the body equality of the Jews and Gentiles in this wonderful new dispensation. Before outlining the scriptural evidence for this position, let's present Ephesians 3:6 in the light of Ephesians, not Corinthians or Romans. Here is Ephesians 3:6 in Ephesians setting. That the Gentiles should be heirs together and of the body together, and partakers together of his promise in Christ through the gospel that I am now preaching to you. This takes the word same out of our understanding and breaks the link dispensationally that some wrongly try to do between this wonderful joint body of Ephesians and the believers' prior calling in the Acts period. Oh yes, it's the same believers who crossed a dispensational boundary at Acts 28. But in the Acts period, they weren't the church which is his body. They were a remnant of prophecy, blessed with faithful Abraham. And all of Paul's writings were prophecy, promise, and purpose of God for the earth. Now, let's come to Ephesians chapter 3 and examine carefully the context. Paul starts in this particular chapter, and we remember that there are no chapter breaks in the original. Paul says this, "I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, nations or Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Ward, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Ephesians 3, verse 3. Now, I'd like to pick up, not being my subject, these inner the parentheses here of verse 3b, 4, 5. I'm going to pick up from verse 6 that this great mystery, this great dispensation that was given to Paul as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles, states that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Now, to leave this verse 6 in context, I want to keep reading for a few more verses. In verse 7, "Of this gospel I was made a minister." Of this good news. Of this good news about this wonderful dispensation. Paul was made a minister. "According to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effectual working of his power, this grace is given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations." So, this body together of Ephesians 3 is part of unsearchable riches. And then, in verse 9, "and to bring to light what is the fellowship or dispensation of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Well, a fascinating passage of Scripture. And we're particularly looking this morning at verse 6, which says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. What we see now, before we interpret this verse, we must leave it rigidly in its immediate context, and we must leave it in its near context, and we must consider it in a wider context. Let me give you an analogy of not abiding by a context. And it's a simple analogy from life itself. You could probably guess by my accent that I am an Australian. Now, in Australia, we drive on the left-hand side of the road. But, of course, in other countries, say, for example, America, they drive on the right-hand side of the road. Now, I have owned, in Australia, vehicles that are the same make and model that are available in America. If I was to ignore the setting of America and come over and say, "Ah, look, there's the same vehicle totally disregarding the dispensational differences, then I would be a very sad, sorry, bruised, and possibly a dead individual before very long. Imagine making a left-hand turn in America, observing the road rules in Australia. That is so, so important, isn't it? Now, just because I see that Paul is writing to the same believers that believed in Christ in the Acts period and writes in Ephesians that, oh, you're the same body now, he's not telling them that they were in the body back then and they're in the body now. No, previously they had a hope in Christ, which was the hope of Israel. Ephesians is writing to the believers who crossed the boundary, and Paul is giving them a new hope and a new calling. The body of Ephesians 3:6 is something that was unsearchable and hidden prior to this point. Now, Paul is writing to the Jews and Gentiles and said, look, there's been a new creation. You are members in a body together. That's what he's writing about. So coming back to this verse here, Ephesians 3 verse 6, Paul says this, that the Gentiles should be the fellow heirs and of the same body and partaker of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Well, first of all, we need to consider what body is Paul talking about and see in the context that same body does not refer to a previous body. It looks like it, doesn't it, on the surface? And if so, how can we determine what this body is that Paul's speaking about? The first thing we need to notice in Ephesians 3 verse 1, remember, immediate context, Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you nations or Gentiles. Now we know that Paul was a prisoner in the Acts period from Acts 21 to Acts 28. Now we know that Paul in the Acts was the apostle of the Gentiles and was a prisoner, however, for the hope of Israel. The Gentiles, of course, of that time, to be blessed with faithful Abraham. He confesses in Acts 24:14, for example, that at that time, after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. Oh dear, now those of us who test things that differ, notice straight away that in Ephesians chapter 3, the setting of the same body, Paul says, I'm sharing you a mystery which was hidden in God, which was unsearchable, contained unsearchable riches. In Acts 26, for example, you'll find that Paul states in verse 6 of that chapter that he was judged for the hope of the promise made to Israel's fathers. So in Acts 24 and 26, Paul believed all things that were written in the law and in the prophets, and he was judged as a prisoner of the promise made to Israel's fathers by God. Straight away, we can see incredible differences, can't we? Because in Ephesians chapter 3, again, unsearchable riches and things that were hidden in God. In fact, if we come down to Acts 26, 22, Paul states at this late stage of his ministry, very, very clearly, as a prisoner, remember, I stand until this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said was going to happen. Now, when we believe our apostle, then we begin to appreciate that the context of Ephesians chapter 3 is different to the latter stages of the Acts period. That's the first thing, isn't it? in our understanding of any verse of Scripture, we must note the context. Finally, in Acts 28, just a verse, of course, that we're quite familiar with, no change in this late chapter when Paul says to the Jews in Rome, in Acts 28, verse 20, Paul says this, "For this cause, then, I've called for you to see and to speak with you, for I have this chain around me for the hope of Israel." Now, that's the Apostle Paul as a prisoner in the latter chapters of the book of Acts. However, when we come to Ephesians chapter 3, we notice that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, that's for the nations. Writing in Ephesians to these believers who crossed the dispensational boundary, he says in Ephesians 1 verse 12 these words, "For us to be the praise of his glory who previously had hoped in Christ or trusted in Christ." He was bound as a prisoner in Acts for the hope of Israel. He wrote to the believers of that time and said, "Yes, we previously hoped in Christ, but the hope has changed." In the same chapter, verse 15 through 18, he prays that they would know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Here he's writing to people who believed before, but the dispensation had changed. This makes it impossible for the body together of Ephesians 3:6 to be any previous body, doesn't it? The opening chapters of Ephesians are about the new dispensation with its new hope. So when we come to chapter 3, we can see the difference when he says, "I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you nations." With a new hope, not the hope I had before when I was a prisoner for the hope of Israel. That's the setting of the body together of Ephesians 3, verse 6. Yes, you see, at Acts 28, the Jews didn't listen to Paul's message. And Paul pronounced in Acts 28, 25 through to 27, the great judgmental prophecy of Isaiah chapter 6, and Israel were put aside at Acts 28, and Paul's prison ship ministry changed. He wasn't bound anymore for the hope of Israel. He was bound for the unsearchable riches, for the nations, and a great message that he had for them. Now, coming back to chapter 3, we notice that Paul says something, whatever this body is that Paul is now talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, it is identified with a change of ministry, and it's identified in a change of plain confession by the Apostle Paul. Previously, it was none other things than those which Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. In Ephesians chapter 3, it was unsearchable, hidden in God material. Now, how can that body of Ephesians 3:6 be a body of a previous ministry? Therefore, we see immediately that before we interpret verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 3, we must know where we are in the setting, in the dispensational elements of the Apostle Paul. Now I want to go to Colossians for a moment, where the word body occurs, and where Paul repeats his claims about this ministry that he had. He says in verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1, that he rejoiced in his sufferings on your behalf. And I fill up the things lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh on behalf of his body, which is the church. Do you notice Christ in that verse body in that verse and church in that verse. Try and find Christ, body, and church in 1 Corinthians 12 together as a title and in Romans 12 as a title. Now Paul says in verse 25, of which calling and company, okay, the church which is his body, notice he says, of which I became a minister, verse 25, according to the dispensation of God given to me for you to complete the word of God. You see, the word fulfill is translated complete in Colossians chapter 2. So this church which is his body is identified with a dispensation which completes the word of God. Now, we do see body, don't we, in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12. But neither of those letters are a dispensation which completes the word of God. Oh, and in Colossians 1:26, the mystery, he goes on to say, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. So the church which is his body, that Paul writes about as a prisoner for the Gentiles and not a prisoner for the hope of Israel, the church which is his body that Paul writes about in Ephesians and Colossians is identified with something that was hidden away from ages and from generations, but we have seen that in the latter chapters of Acts, Paul was still worshipping the God of his fathers, believing all things written in the law and the prophets, that he was saying no other things than can be found in promise, prophecy, and purpose of God for the earth. We remember very clearly that Paul's use of the body in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 is about supernatural gifts which were promise, prophecy, and purpose of God for the earth. Now we have set the near context of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we're going to look at the verse carefully, because we have identified its setting. Therefore, if I see the word in Ephesians 3:6, which says, same body, and I immediately go back to Corinthians and Romans, I am ignoring the very, very clear, plainly visible dispensational differences that exist in Ephesians and Colossians and that Acts period ministry of Paul. Oh yes, Paul is writing to the saints and faithful who crossed the Acts 28 boundary, but they weren't in the church which is his body in the Acts period. So same body of Ephesians 3:6, in the mouths of those who try to think it is the same body, are ignoring the context. You see, this is what being a dispensationalist or right divider is all about. Remember in Philippians 1, 9 and 10, when Paul prayed that the Philippians' love would abound yet more and more in knowledge and discernment, that they could distinguish things that are different? Well, when we don't do that, we are on a course of confusion. And remember in Philippians chapter 3, I think I'd like to show you that now. In Philippians chapter 3 says, look, I was circumcised the eighth day, in verse 5, of the stock of Israel. You see? Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as regarding the law of Pharisee. But, he said, I count those things of the past as done. Do you see? Now, you remember don't you, in Romans chapter 11, when Paul asked the rhetorical question, had God cast away Israel? He said, of course not. I am an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. Those things in the Acts period were important to him. But what did he say in Philippians chapter 3? Forgetting those things which are behind. Do you see? The Apostle Paul had received a new dispensation, something that had never been revealed in prophecy, and he forgot the things which were behind. And he's writing to those, some of which were Jews, and remembered when Israel were brought out and redeemed, they looked back, didn't they? But you and I can't go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, and look back, simply because it says, same body. That's looking back. That's trying to interpret Ephesians chapter 3 in things that had been placed in the past. Things that had changed. Now, coming to the verse itself. This verse has been a difficult one to translate, because in it we have three words that are compounds. And the three words are all a single word in the original. The three words are fellow heirs, same body, and partaker. Now, each of these words is a compound. And they have a little prefix called sin, or sun, or also m. S-Y-N or S-U-M, depending on the word it's joined to. We find this little prefix in our English language, where we have two Greek words joined together. In a classic example, symphony, where symphony is sound together. It's an emphasis on something being together. Not everyone in the orchestra is making the same sound, but they are making sound together. Now, in Ephesians 3:6, some translators use different words to bring out this togetherness. They might say, heirs together, and of a body together, and partakers together, although the word partake means sharing together. Do you see? Some translators like the word joint and talk about joint heirs and a joint body and joint partakers. But they're not referring back to anything in the past. They're referring to the setting of Ephesians. But it must be pointed out that these three words are one in the original language, not two. So when the translators say same body and they use two words, they are trying to bring across into English the compound word in the original. They are trying to show that the nations are now part of a body together. By taking out the word same, we have stopped ourselves thinking of any previous calling, and our focus is now on Ephesians. So let's read Ephesians 3:6. Slightly differently, that the Gentiles should be heirs together and of the body together. And as soon as we read it like that, we remember Ephesians chapter 2. For this cause, Paul says in Ephesians 3:1, looking back to chapter 2, we think of the wonderful new creation just given to Paul at this time, where the dispensational distinctions between Jew and Gentile have been removed in the one new man. It's time to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, not Romans and Corinthians. Paul is not writing and saying to them, "Oh, look, you have progressed through the Acts period, crossed over a dispensational boundary, but you're still the same body you used to be." That is absolutely impossible when we look at the context. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, where the Gentiles are referred to by Paul as the uncircumcision. And they were called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision. Here in Ephesians 2 and 11, we notice that previous to the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians, the Jews and the Gentiles were marked or unmarked in the flesh as being different. This verse 11 alone should demonstrate to us that in times past, the Jews and the Gentiles were not a body together. No new creation, creating Jews and Gentiles one new mankind in Romans or Corinthians. Listen to Paul in Romans 1:16. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Jew first. Romans chapter 3. "What then is the superiority of the Jew?" Well, time for Paul to say they don't have any, if he has the truth of Ephesians in Romans. But look at Romans 3:1 continuing. "Or what is the profit of circumcision?" And he answers in verse 2, "Much every which way chiefly." Oh, but in Ephesians 2, "Of circumcision and uncircumcision, God has created of the two one new man." Oh, Ephesians 3:6 isn't the same body of the Acts period. It's the body together of the new creation of Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, in the Acts period, when Paul was talking about the law and the prophets, you see, the Jews, one of their great advantages was that they were the very ones to whom the law and the prophets spoke. Coming to Romans 15, we notice that in verse 27, the Gentiles were obligated, they were grafted into the olive tree in Romans 11, remember? Because the Jews were stumbling, Gentiles were being saved to provoke Israel to jealousy. And in Romans 15:27, the Gentiles were obliged to financially support the Jews because, guess what? They, the Gentiles, had been made partakers of Israel's spiritual things. This is not being a body together of total equality. Do you see the difference? In Galatians, written in the Acts period, Paul says in verse 7, "Therefore, those of faith, these are the heirs of Abraham." Verse 9, "So then those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." That's partaking of Israel's spiritual things for the Gentiles, isn't it? That's not a body together. And down at the bottom of the chapter 3, at that time, if they were Christ's, if they were in Christ, then they, Jew and Gentile, were Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that God gave to Abraham since the foundation of the world. This is not the body together of Ephesians chapter 2 and 3:6. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 so that we can leave Ephesians 3:6 in the dispensational setting of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, those who were the uncircumcision, in times past, they were without Christ. That doesn't mean they didn't have him as a saviour. But Christ in the Acts period, in Acts 2, Acts 13, the book of Hebrews and Peter, and anywhere else in the Acts period, Christ was raised to Israel to sit on David's throne, the king and high priest. And as Peter says, it was this king of Israel, the seed of David, who shed forth supernatural gifts. Yes, the gifts fell on the Jews and Gentiles, but what did Paul say? The Gentiles of the Acts period were participating in Israel's spiritual things. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, what was Paul writing about? Supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now concerning supernatural or charismata, I would not have you ignorant. And he's talking about all the gifts that the divisive group of Corinthians had experienced. They came behind in no gift, but the Corinthians were divisive, squabbling over who they got baptized with. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. And Paul in Corinthians says, look, no, you are a body of Christ. Each of you has a gift, and you function together as a body. But in Corinthians, do you see? It was still the hope of Israel. And in Corinthians, they were called, in 2 Corinthians 11, a chaste virgin. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul spoke about something he had received of the Lord's Supper, the Passover, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. And in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul was a minister of the New Covenant. The body of 1 Corinthians 12 is an analogous use of the human body to try and get these baby Christians in Corinth to look at how they should be working together. Look, Paul says to them, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, you are a body of Christ. Oh, dear, yes, I know that in translations it says, you are the body of Christ. But you see, if you look at literal translations, the A is the indefinite article. The is not in the original. And Paul says, you are a body of Christ and members in part. You're working together. Let's have some harmony and some unity. Now, showing the dispensational differences in Ephesians and the Acts period, do you see how superficial it is and grossly erroneous to see the word same body in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, and say, oh, that's the body of Corinthians and Romans. Do you know, friends, that when Paul uses the term body in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, it's in relation to supernatural gifts, which were the promise made to the fathers? Wait, says the Lord to the disciples, until you receive the promise of the Father. Well, supernatural gifts don't belong in a dispensation not based on promise and hidden away from ages and generations. Try and find body in Ephesians and Colossians in a setting of supernatural gifts. It is one of the astounding differences in Paul's ministries. Here's Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 4 says this, for even as we have many members in one human body, that's what he's talking about, and all the members do not have the same function. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, an eye, an ear, a nose, and that's parts of the head. But in Ephesians and Colossians, Christ is the head, and nourishment from him ministers to the church, which is his body, masculine. In Corinthians, everyone had a gift. In Romans 12, everyone had a gift. And Paul was liking it to the harmonious working together of the human body. He's talking about supernatural gifts, not a corporate relationship of Christ and the called out company of that time. Coming back to Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, the many, are one body in Christ. And I don't care what version you use. Paul does not say in Romans that the Jews who had an advantage and the Gentiles who had to support Israel financially because they partook of Israel's spiritual things were a body together of Christ who was the head. That is impossible. No, he said, we the many are one body in Christ. And being in Christ does not mean being a member of the church, which is his body. There were many in Christ before Paul. Now, in either Corinthians and Romans, can you see church, which is his body? And the answer is no. In 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, can you see Christ as the head of the church, which is his body? And the answer is no. Romans 12, verse 6, then having gifts differing. Do you see? Romans 12, one body in Christ, supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, a body of Christ, supernatural gifts. That is not the church which is his body of Ephesians and Colossians. And supernatural gifts are promise made to the fathers, are prophecy and purpose of God for the earth, and were given by the priest king of Israel, raised and seated and ready to come again at the last trumpet. Now, look at the differences. Do you see? How impossible is it to think that the same body of Ephesians 3 refers back to a beginning of or the church which is his body prior to Ephesians. But let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, we've already pointed out in verse 11 that there was previously a distinction. He's writing to saints and faithful. There was previously a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. They were without Christ. He was raised to Israel. He was their saviour, but he was priest, high priest, king of Israel. That the Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They had to have four laws in Acts 15 and have a mini law of their own. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. Notice, promise and prophecy was what it was in the past. Covenants, remember, were given to one nation only, the nation of Israel. And in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, whose are the fathers? And they had the covenants. One of the huge advantages for Israel were the covenants. Not the Gentiles didn't have any covenants. Oh no, they were grafted in and blessed with Abraham. They had an adoption in Galatians 4, which looked to the land of promise and the new Jerusalem, which was, of course, a mother to them all. We're masculine. We're in no ways in these Acts, post-Acts letters in any way shown forth to be feminine. We're masculine as the church which is his body. How can the body together, or same body in some translation, possibly refer to a calling that's feminine, has a mother in the Acts period, when our calling today is masculine? Returning to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, we have a wonderful dispensational change. But now, in Ephesians, after Acts 28, Paul goes on to say, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. Oh, don't see blood of Christ and think that's referring to me as a sinner. No, it is not. It's referring to the nearness of Jew and Gentile in this new creation. For this blood of Christ brought about our peace. Remember, don't forget verse 11. The peace between those who were circumcised and those who weren't. That's the peace he's talking about, because he has made the both one. Ah, here in Ephesians, the both are one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition. Oh my goodness, we remember in Acts 21 that the Jews thought Paul had brought Trophimus, a brother in Christ, past the middle wall of partition. The differences between believing Jews and Gentiles, circumcision and uncircumcision, still existed in Acts 21. In Acts 21, the distinction stood, the middle wall representing the lack of peace, not between a sinner and God, but between the Jew and Gentile believers, because the Jews had the advantage and the Gentiles had nothing but were blessed with them. That is not being a body together. Let's look at the next verse in Ephesians 2:15, where the middle wall of verse 14 is linked with the ordinances of Acts 15, having abolished in his flesh the conflict. Do you see? Enmity. That means conflict. Trouble. The law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might create the two into one new man, making peace between the two, not God and a sinner, peace between the Jew and Gentile, so that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross. Notice it's by the cross, not at the cross. We're now in a set of letters that are revealing a dispensation that previously had been hidden away, and that includes ages and generations hidden in God, not revealed through Christ, not revealed through Peter, not revealed through Paul in the Acts period. And so we have in verse 16 this wonderful and glorious new creation, bringing about a reconciliation of both. Do you see? Both in one body. Ah! Here's the context of Ephesians chapter 3. Here is where we have to be before we go back to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. If we don't understand this chapter 2, then we can flit off anywhere when we read Ephesians chapter 3. This reconciliation is for Jew and Gentile in a created company. This created company has total equality. It's broken down the middle wall. It's broken down and removed those ordinances that the Gentiles had to do in the Acts period that still stood to Acts 21. This is breaking down circumcision and uncircumcision. This is making all Gentiles, all nations, that is Jews, and all the other nations, all nations now, a body together. Or as Ephesians 3 translators have it, of the same body, newly revealed here in Ephesians, after Acts 28, but now, doesn't refer to Romans and Corinthians, but this letter here, not spoken about anywhere else. Look at how this new creation of Jew and Gentile is further emphasized as the means of peace between them. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Do you see the peace in Ephesians chapter 2? It is not being justified by faith we have peace with God found in Romans. This is peace in this new creation, of which in this dispensation given to Paul after Israel was set aside, and only in these letters, do we find Christ as the head of the church, which is his body. And in this church, which is his body, the Jews and Gentiles are equal members of this body together. They are totally equal. They have been reconciled. There is peace. Now, let us return to chapter 3 and conclude this little lesson. Now that we have revisited chapter 2, where we have this of the twain one new man, reconciled in one body, peace between them because of this new creation, because of those statements, chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you nations, including the Jews, who have been made and reconciled to God in chapter 2 in one body. Do you see? And this is all in relation to a dispensation given to Paul by revelation. Now, let's come along to the verse 6. Here we go. And this great, do you see, dispensation, this great mystery revealed to Paul, not given to him before this, includes a glorious message that the Gentiles should be joint heirs. And we can't go and look at the inheritance in Ephesians, but you know full well that the inheritance of Ephesians is heavenly places, not Isaiah 11 of Romans chapter 15, and certainly not the resurrection of Hosea and Isaiah that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Ephesians 3:6, the nations should be heirs together, and of the body together. They're together. They are a body together, according to what I've just told you in chapter 2. Of this great gospel, including this body together, Paul continues in verse 7, 8, and 9, I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. The grace, this grace is given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, to preach this gospel about this being a body together, which is in a context of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the Gentiles. This body together is unsearchable. When we try and find it in letters of Paul and the Acts period previous to this, we're really stepping outside Paul's own words in this context. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery, or the dispensation of the mystery, and this body together, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created. See the word created? This word created is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. In Ephesians 3:9, this dispensation which was hidden in God was hidden in the God who created all things by Christ Jesus. And this creation in Ephesians 3:9 points us back to prior words of Paul in this very letter. back to chapter 2, not to Romans or Corinthians. The creation of Ephesians 2:15 is the creation in himself of Jew and Gentile, one new man. So do you see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that when we see an English breakup of one word in Greek into two in English, and we see the word same body, we contextually and dispensationally have no liberty whatsoever to say that this is the same body that Paul wrote about in Corinthians and Romans. It is completely different and part of the great and glorious calling that God gave to all nations today through the Apostle Paul after Israel was set aside at Acts 28. God bless you each one. Please search and see and make these things your own. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the glorious and wonderful principle of right division. Thank you, Father, for helping each of us to see things that are different. We bless you, we praise you, and we joy in you for the understanding that each of us have received at your hand by the Holy Spirit who dwells among us and by the word of truth rightly divided. We bless you, we praise you for all things through Christ our Lord. Amen.